The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Regan Reese, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, can you take us through some of the highlights of, and by the way, everybody, of course, can check out your latest piece, Trump Celebrates First 100 Days and Second Term with the Rally in Michigan. So, you start out with talking about the chance, making America great again, but what are you focusing on as far as your piece about the first 100 days under the belt of this administration and this president?
Yeah, I mean, last night was just a vintage Trump rally. It really just had a rally feel to it. We know how much he loves to rally. And so it seems like that is, you know, really what his staff set him up for last night. Of course, front and center is immigration. That is probably where his administration has made the most gains. President Trump touted, you know, how secure they've gotten the border. Last week, I had the opportunity to ask him if he's happy with the rate of deportations. Both he and Tom Homan have said, yes, they're happy with the rate of deportations. Of course, they want it to be more, but, you know, they've been locked in some legal battles and hoping to deploy, I think, more tools to keep deportations going. Also, there were a lot of social issues that I think Trump also chose to tout last night, keeping men out of women's sports. You know, making the federal government recognizing that there is only two genders, eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion offices from the federal government. We did see him touch on DOGE a little bit. We know things have kind of been rocky, I think, in terms of public perception with Elon Musk and DOGE, but he did touch on that. And then, you know, he also used the opportunity to tout his tariffs, which I think a lot of Americans are still waiting to feel the effects of his economic policy. And so last night was also an opportunity for President Trump to kind of explain his economic policy and to give Americans a little bit of reassurance, especially with the GDP report coming out this morning.
Yes. And I had reported that when it came out that we had the shrinkage, if you will, the 0.3% there. But, you know, when you look at this, let me just ask you something. If you, Regan Reese, had the opportunity representing the Daily Caller, and you, the Trump administration, had said, you know what, we want to mix things up. Instead of ABC News, Regan Reese is going to do this interview, this sit-down in the Oval Office, right there in front of the Resolute desk. What questions, what would you have done differently, or what questions would you have asked the president?
Well, you're kind of putting me on the spot here. you know, I think that the way I approach the briefing room is pretty much reflective of how I would approach an interview with President Trump. You know, we are asking questions that a lot of times we're hearing from our audience, which is, you know, 20 to 30 million Americans across the country, outside of the Beltway, in the heartland of America, what they want to know. So I've asked, you know, where are the Epstein files? We asked about judicial nominations, as President Trump is kind of railing against the courts. He has 40 judicial nominations to make. We've asked, where are those? We've asked these details about who is snatching Christine Noem's purse. What are these illegals look like? Do they want to finish the border wall? Is that a plan? These are all things that the American people want to know. Did what they vote for, is that getting done? And so, you know, just one example from this ABC report, I just think that they really are missing the forest for the trees when they're asking President Trump about this photo of MS-13 and whether it's photoshopped or not to put the actual letters of MS-13 on the guy's knuckles. And I have to wonder, to what extent does President Trump not even understand, because it's just so incredibly stupid to pick a fight or pick, like, to just nitpick this one little thing he's saying. And so, you know, I have a running list of questions that I would ask President Trump at any time. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I, of course, am always vying as well for an Oval Office interview and an opportunity there. But, you know, that's how we would approach this interview. We want to let the American people know what President Trump has done. And, you know, now that we're past 100 days, what can we expect in the next 100 and so on?
Yeah, I agree with you that it was silly. And I thought to myself, why in the world would you choose the Photoshop? You know, obviously, it would, like you said, in your social media post, Reagan Reese, it was very obviously Photoshopped. And it means, you know, if you talk to all the gang task force guys and gals, you know, MS-13 is what it means. And so they put it up there. But, like, why get into that of all the things that you could talk to the president of the United States of America? So it just seems silly. But as far as, you know, looking at the White House with coverage, actually, Dan had a clip of you. Let's listen in.
Yeah, this is actually, she references Reagan okay. did her question towards the president. And it's nice because I just want to play back. The president had some kind words for Reagan.
President, Mr. President, great to be with you. On the work that your team is doing on the border, are you happy with the
Oh, it's amazing what they've done on the border. Thank you for the question, because honestly, it's one of the great successes. We have virtually nobody coming in illegally. We do have people coming in legally because we want people to come in, but we have nobody coming in through the border virtually.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to have a compliment like that.
I got a question for Reagan, because I want to take us behind the scenes, because there are a lot of White House poll reporters, not just Reagan Reese, and I've always wondered here, working in media myself, what's the dynamic behind the scenes between the reporters, Reagan, when you're back there with Pete Ducey of Fox and all? Do you guys go have drinks afterwards? Because a lot of times you hear you kind of, it's almost like you're climbing over one another for good reason, because you want to get your question in, but what's that dynamic like behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a competition. DC's kind of funny, where it's almost kind of feels like glorified college in a way, where you kind of all have your cliques and your circles that you run in. And so I know a lot of conservative reporters that are in the room just from, you know, previous events that we've been at in terms of networking things. I've been in the briefing room now for 2 years. I covered a year of the Biden administration. And one thing I always tell people is you really don't understand, I think, how much the human element of things comes into play when you step in the briefing room, because at the end of the day, you're all people, and there's not as much as like elbow throw-ins and comments behind the back and whispers that you would think, especially between, I think, the difference of opinions in the media. For me, I find White House correspondents to be quite insufferable. So I spend a lot of time getting in and getting out, you know, going in there and doing what I came to do, informing our audience, and then, you know, racing right back to the office to write whatever story I need to write. But in general, I think it's a rather friendly environment. But there's probably a little bit of tension right now going on between the new media and the mainstream media.
Really?
I happen to float right in the middle of it. I'm not new media. I'm not mainstream media. I just kind of do my thing and get to observe it all.
That's funny.
I got to ask, and you said you were there for 2 years now, and that means you spent some time covering the Biden administration, now the Trump administration. You had that great exclusive piece with J.D. Vance. Building relationships behind the scenes with the new administration, are you seeing quite a difference in how you have access to them? What do you see there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, under the Biden administration, I was called on 3 times in the White House press briefing. Someone counted it up for me. I think it was like Mediate or something, and said that I've got maybe 12 questions so far in the Trump administration. And so that's already a world of difference. And just getting the opportunity to ask the press secretary questions, but also being invited to different department briefings. I've been to the Department of Justice's press briefings twice. I've gotten to ask a question of Attorney General Bondi twice. I've asked President Trump 4 times the amount of questions that I asked President Biden in a year of covering him. So that access, just the opportunities, I don't even think is because of the, you know, it has a little bit to do with, you know, being maybe more in line ideologically with the administration. But President Trump is just way more interactive with the media. Caroline Leavitt is way more interactive with the media across the spectrum. She's calling on CNN more than she's calling on me, really, when you look down at the numbers. And so that's just, I think, their approach to how they want to use the media. And also they have a president who's like brain dead that they're trying to hide.
You know, last time we spoke, you had told me you were traveling with the vice president. You appreciated that you could get your ashes. It was the beginning of the Lenten season.
Yes.
And you appreciated because you didn't know how you were going to get your ashes, and that he had a priest come, and that you really just didn't know that was going to happen.
Awesome
appreciate
move.
Yeah, it was great. And that really brings me into, and we saw your exclusive piece with J.D. Vance, you know, talking about the first 100 days, the steel plant. But I also wanted to weave in your, you know, some of your social media posts about that it's okay to wear a cross and talk about your faith. And so does this administration empower you as just a professional person? Obviously, you don't work for the administration. You have no ties to the administration. You're a journalist. You're a White House correspondent. But does the is it that the administration in celebrating faith somehow empowers you that you feel like, well, crosses are back? Caroline Leavitt, we often see her wearing her cross.
Yeah, it's funny you bring this up. I was actually kind of talking about this with a group of girls I do a Bible study with. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, been raised a devout Catholic my entire life. And so I just never have really come into contact with people who don't think that being a Christian, I've always thought that being a Catholic, being a person of faith, mm-hmm. wearing a cross is a very normal and accepted thing. And so for me, it's the norm. I have my cross on every single day. I don't even think twice about taking it off. And so, you know, perhaps for people who haven't been exposed to that, that is inspiring for them to see. But, you know, when I look at my life and my reporting, this is just something that has been the norm for me my entire life. And I, you know, whether there are people in the briefing room or in the world who don't want me to talk about my faith or get my ashes on the trip with J.D. Vance or wear my cross, I don't really care because this is, you know, you're serving the Lord in all you do. And ultimately, I believe that my reporting is to help better the country, which helps, you know, glorify the Lord. And so, you know, hopefully in my reporting and being bold about my faith, I can inspire those who haven't been as fortunate as I have to get to, express their faith throughout their lives.
That's wonderful. Well, Reagan Reese, I hope we continue the conversation. You're just doing great work. Thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. Reagan Reese, thank you.
Thank you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.